For our study today, where we'll begin is in Acts chapter 5. As we continue today our monthly series that we've been doing now for a little over a year called God Questions, we're answering the basic questions about God and the Bible. And if you remember last month, we began answering the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Notice the question is not what is the Holy Spirit, but who is the Holy Spirit? If you remember last time we were together, we talked extensively about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a what, but a who. He's not an it, but he is an he. Okay? We see that in the New Testament, specifically when Jesus referred to this one who was coming after him, the Holy Spirit, he spoke with the pronoun he in referring to the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit is not just a force, not just a power, but he's actually a person. And I know that thought may have been new for some of you. In fact, after the study, many of you told me, boy, that was new for me to understand. But that's great. That's good. I'm glad to see that your minds are being renewed by the truth. And so we have to understand the Holy Spirit is a he. He's a person. If you remember last time, we talked about how the Holy Spirit was a person. And I'm just going to give you just a quick review, and then we're going to pick up today here in Acts chapter 5 with our study talking about the Holy Spirit is also God. But if you remember, in the light of him being a person, we talked about how the Holy Spirit has a will, the Holy Spirit has intelligence, the Holy Spirit has emotion. Because the Holy Spirit's a person, the Holy Spirit can be sinned against. And we saw in the Bible six specific sins that can be committed against the Holy Spirit. And so that's where we left off, if you remember last time, was here in Acts chapter 5, as we see the last sin that we talked about that can be committed against the Holy Spirit is the sin of lying. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 5, we're going to zoom in on verse 4, but let's read just for context from the beginning at verse 1. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it." In other words, they promised the church they would give the Lord a certain amount of money, and then they end up keeping back part of that money. His wife was aware of it, it says, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet as if they had kept the promise they had made in front of everybody. So we see they commit the sin of hypocrisy here. They want to be perceived as something they're not. They want to be perceived as spiritual. They want to be perceived as giving when really they're not. They held back. It says in verse 3, "But Peter said, Ananias, why is," notice this, "Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit." You see that? When you make a vow to God and you break it, you're lying to God, but you're lying to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? They made this commitment. They made this vow to do something, and we're going to dedicate this to God. So the important thing here is the promise they made was to the Lord, and because they didn't keep the promise, they lied to him, but specifically lied to the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, "And you kept back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own?" In other words, no one forced you to do this. No one made you make this commitment. You did this voluntarily. It goes on to say, "And after it was sold, was it not in your own control?" Even after you sold it, you could have came to us and just said, "You know what? We don't want to give it." That's fine. He goes on to say, "Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who?" To God. You see that? To God. You lied to God. Okay. It's interesting in verse 4, he says, "You lied to God." But in verse 3, he says, "You lied to who?" So the Holy Spirit is who? The Holy Spirit is God. Do you see that? It's a simple proof text to prove that the Holy Spirit is more than just a force or just the power of God. He is God himself. When we look at the nature of God, which we've already talked about in previous studies here in this series, we've talked about how the God that we worship as Christians exists in three persons, right? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, multiple times in both the Old and New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is identified by names that are directly related to the other members of the Godhead. For instance, let me give you some of those titles. He's called the Spirit of God, speaking of the Father. He's also called the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of Jesus, he is referred to once. And the Spirit of our God, which means he's God. Let me give you some verses, if you want some verses to write down, just if you're a note taker, that prove this same thing, that the Holy Spirit is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. In speaking of the Lord, Paul said this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." So you could say, "And the Spirit is the Lord." But here Paul says that the Lord is the Spirit. He's God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. When Paul is ending that book, here's the benediction he ends with. Are you ready? I love this. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God," that's two members of the Trinity, he says, "and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Paul equates the Holy Spirit along with the Father and the Son, saying that just as Jesus Christ is God and God the Father is God, so is the Holy Spirit. In fact, how about this one? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word," which is Jesus, we know that from John chapter 1, "and the Holy Spirit." He goes on to say that these three are one. The Holy Spirit is God. John 14, verse 16. Interesting scripture. Jesus speaking says, "And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper." Familiar with that verse? John 14, 16. "He will give you another helper." Another helper? Yeah, see, when Jesus said that to his disciples in John 14, Jesus was their helper. The word for helper there is the word parakletos, which means one who comes alongside to help, to assist, to aid. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus was the disciples' parakletos. He was their help, their aid, the one who came alongside them. Jesus says, "After I leave, I'm going to pray, and the Father is going to send to you another helper or parakletos. When I leave, oh, you won't be alone. You know why? He's going to send another one just like me." The word "another" in that verse means one of the same nature, one of the same kind. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is just like me. How is the Holy Spirit just like Jesus? Number one, he's God. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit's God. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit's like, look at Jesus. You get that? Okay? If you want to know, okay, because this is a big question in many churches today, especially those churches who are very experience-based, those churches who put a lot of credence in the move of the Spirit among us. And then they point to different manifestations. They point to different things that people do and say, that's the Holy Spirit. You ever heard people say such things as, well, I can see the Holy Spirit all over that person? You hear TV preachers say that kind of nonsense. I can see the Spirit of God all over them, you know? And some of you came from churches like that. I went to a church like that for almost 7 years. Okay, I understand that. Okay? But if you want to know if that's really the move of the Holy Spirit, ask yourself the question. Okay? WWJD. Or should I say, did Jesus do that? So what is that? D, did, DJ, DT. There you go. Let's make new armbands. You guys want to make $1 million? Let's have a church fundraiser. You want to? This is the way this crazy stuff gets started. Did Jesus do that? Here's the amazing thing. I know in charismatic circles, it's a very big thing to be prayed for by somebody and then to be slain in the Spirit. Boo! And lay on the floor. Do we see in the Bible Jesus praying for anyone and knocking them down? No, never. Never. The only people who got knocked down backwards were sinners. people who were opposed to God. You see? Jesus didn't knock people down. You know what he did? He raised them up and put them back in their right mind and made them quit that. But what I'm saying is this. What is the Holy Spirit like? We're going to talk about that in the months to come. We're going to discuss this more as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Okay? Because I do believe in the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I do believe in the gifts of the Spirit and that they're for the church today. But I do believe in charisma. What I don't believe in is charismania. Okay? One's biblical, one's not. But you want to know something or not is of the Holy Spirit, will observe it and just ask yourself the question, did Jesus do that? And if he didn't, then you know what? What that is emotionalism. You know, and I guarantee you, you provide the right environment and people will do all kinds of crazy things. Why? Because I used to do that. I used to do it to other people when I was in the charismatic church. I know how all that works. There's an art. It's manipulation. I understand that. That's why I left. Because we don't live our life by emotion. We don't live our life by experience. We live it by faith in what this Bible says. Amen? So, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit is just like him. He's another helper. In other words, he's God. Now, let's break it down even more. We also know that the Holy Spirit is God because he possesses the same attributes as God. We see that in the Bible. Let me give them to you. Just a few here. Now, we're going to go through all of them. If you remember, we took about 10 months, once a month last year, going through the attributes of God. We didn't exhaust them by any means because we can't. But we did give you an idea, right, of the attributes of God. Let's look at a few of them and how they apply to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Number one, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent or all-powerful, just like God the Father and Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. From the outset of the Bible, at the very beginning, we're told that the Holy Spirit is God and that the Holy Spirit, okay, is all-powerful. The Holy Spirit was the agent of which brought the creation into being. The Bible tells us that God the Father was involved in creation, God the Son was the creator, and that the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation too. How? Well, listen to what it says. In the beginning, God, Elohim, the three in one, the more than one making up one, created the heavens and the earth. Well, if that's true, then the Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Godhead. That means that he is attributed as creating the heavens and the earth. Right. But it goes on to say this, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, there it is, verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That was the power, the energy in which the worlds were created through the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is also creator and as much creator as what God the Father and God the Son are, were, is, whatever word you want to use. You see that? Not only that, the Holy Spirit was involved in a lot more than just the creation of the heavens and the earth. What is interesting is if you remember, whenever God formed man of the dust of the ground, the Bible says that God breathed into him the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. Want to guess what word the word for breath is? Same word as spirit. God breathed his Holy Spirit into the man, and he came to life. Interesting. We have a beautiful psalm, Psalm 33, verse 6. Let me give this to you. I love this. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And we do see that, don't we, as we look back at Genesis chapter 1. But the psalmist said this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And the word breath here is the same word, ruach, in the Hebrew, which is spirit. The psalmist tells us that God created everything through the energy or by the power of his spirit. That's the point. Not only did he create everything by the Holy Spirit, not only did he breathe into man his spirit and brought him to life, but you know, I already shared with you, much like back in Genesis chapter 1 at creation, how the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. right? And then God created. We see also, even in, and I share this with you at Christmas time, even in the birth of Jesus Christ, in the conception of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in Luke 1, what? That the Holy Spirit did the same thing to Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed her, hovered over her, and then she was found with life without the aid or help of a man. The Holy Spirit created for Jesus Christ a body in Mary, conceived in her, the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Just like back in Genesis 1. And then you'll find out when you go to Romans chapter 8 that Paul tells us very clearly that it was the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit, Paul says, that lives in you, raised Christ from the dead. So what do we see? The Holy Spirit is what? All powerful. He creates, He gives life, and He even has the power after death to bring forth life again. Why? He's all powerful. You see the point? Number two, not only is He omnipotent or all powerful, He's also omnipresent. He's present everywhere. How do we know that? Well, the scriptures tell us very plainly. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8 says this. David says, "Ask God, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I possibly flee to where the Holy Spirit is not?" Okay? The answer, of course, is a resounding nowhere. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, guess what? You're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There's nowhere you can escape. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is present everywhere at the same time. Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit can be right here in our church service with us, communing with us, speaking to us. We can be here in our presence, and two doors down, the Holy Spirit can be at that church at the same time. Now, He's not, we know that, but He can be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing, all right? That's a joke. I'm glad to see all of you got it, right? That was called waking you up. That's what that was called. Some of you... Isn't that amazing, though? That is amazing. No, better quit, Scott. No. It's amazing, though. He can be at both churches at the same time. Why? Because He's everywhere. He's all present. And number three, He is omniscient or all-knowing. Just like God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit also is all-knowing. Isaiah 40, verse 13 says this, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? And who has been His counselor and taught Him?" Who's ever taught the Holy Spirit anything? Well, no one. Why? Because He knows it all. He's all-knowing. I love this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Paul said, "But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." Revealed to us what? The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And he goes on to say, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except this man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Why? Because He knows everything. Why? Because He's God. The Holy Spirit knows everything about you, everything about me. That's why the Holy Spirit's able to convict us, able to encourage us. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Isn't that awesome? And finally, much like other attributes of God, such as these incommunicable attributes, He's all-powerful, He's present everywhere, He's all-knowing, just like the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is also holy. Right? We talked about some of the attributes of God, some of the communicable attributes of God, the attributes that God has that He wants to share with us. Because He's holy, He wants us to be holy too. Well, the Holy Spirit shares those attributes along with the Father and the Son because He's holy. In fact, that's His name, right? The Holy Spirit. How can you be the Holy Spirit if you're not holy? He is. Why? Because He's God. How about this? Truth. God is truth, right? God wants us to be of the truth and walk of the truth. But the Holy Spirit is also truth. In fact, John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, Jesus calls him over and over and over the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. That's why he's able to teach us and he's able to guide us into all truth. Why? Because he is truth. The Holy Spirit cannot lie because he's God. And so we see Jesus called him the Spirit of truth. Isn't that wonderful? How about this? The Holy Spirit, just like God the Father and the Son, is eternal. The book of Hebrews, he's called the Eternal Spirit. And just one more, just for good measure, love. God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. I love what it says in Romans chapter 5, that the love of God is shed abroad or lavished upon us by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to get to this when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, when we get into all that, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. But the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is not speaking in tongues. It's love. The Bible is very clear that the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit is that you now love the brethren. The fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. Sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, how the Spirit works among us, is what? Chapter 13, which is the love chapter. If you don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit and let the Spirit work through you because your motivation is your love for your brothers, guess what? You're just like a clanging cymbal and a banging gong, just making noise, okay? And there's lots of people who just make a bunch of noise with the gifts of the Spirit. But Paul says if you don't love your brethren, they're worthless, you know? The most terrible thing is this, is to speak to the Lord in tongues and then use that same tongue to curse your brother and to lie about people or to gossip about people. That's terrible, but it happens all the time. That's not of the Lord. Let's wind things down here. How about this one? Another proof that we know the Holy Spirit is God is this. Whatever the Spirit speaks is always considered the Word of God. You go through the Old Testament and New Testament, you know what you find? Every time the Holy Spirit speaks, it's equated as the Word of God. His words are God's words. That's interesting. Why? Well, John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said this, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said he, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit doesn't just say what he wants to say to you. He speaks by the authority of God Almighty, the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit speaks only what he hears. That's why everything he says is equated with the Word of God, because he only speaks what he hears. The Father and the Son speak. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit was the heavenly agent, not only who created everything, but he was also the heavenly agent who gave the Word of God to man. How many times have you ever heard people say, the Bible was written by men? They do, right? They come against you and try to oppose you and saying the Bible was written by men. Well, the Bible doesn't say it was written by men. The Bible says it was written by holy men, men who were chosen by God, who were carried or moved by the Holy Spirit. Why would they be carried or moved by the Holy Spirit to write what they wrote? Because the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, it's the Word of God. That's why we can know the Bible is not inspired by man or did not originate from man, but from God. Because it was the Holy Spirit who moved upon the holy men who wrote it to us. Where do we find that at? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, here's what it says. It says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. The Bible, it's confirmed to us. How? He says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. There are no church leaders in a closet somewhere who have the secret recipe locked up to how to live a godly life. Okay? There's no denomination somewhere who has the formula to the truth put away in a vault somewhere where no one can get to it. There's no church leader who has some secret truth that the Holy Spirit can't reveal to you. Okay? Anytime you're around pastors, preachers, church leaders, people who are of authority spiritually, and they say they have truths that other people don't have, run from them. Why? Because there's no private interpretation of the Scripture. The Scripture says what it means and means what it says. Okay? And you, me, all of us, we can read the Bible and through the leading of the Holy Spirit can be taught all its truths. Why? Because that's part of the Holy Spirit's job, according to Jesus, is to guide us into all truth and to teach us. Not only to teach us those things, but also to remind us when we need them of what the truth says. The Holy Spirit can do that. Isn't that amazing? So there's no private interpretation of Scripture. And he goes on to say, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God. He says they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that word moved literally means carried. The Holy Spirit carried the prophets in the Old Testament, carried the apostles in the New Testament by the power of His Spirit and inspired them by the breath of God to write what they wrote. See, if me or you ever write anything, if I would ever one day write a book on some spiritual truth, it wouldn't be inspired by God like the Bible is. Some of you, Dan, Gabe, some of you guys, Eric, you've wrote music, wrote beautiful, wonderful songs. But those songs aren't inspired by the Holy Spirit the way the Bible is. You see what I'm saying? Some of you may have wrote poems and wrote beautiful things. But those things aren't inspired like the Bible is. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't share those things with you. I'm not saying that He didn't, you know, give you the ability to do that. What I'm saying is the Bible, according to what Paul says, when Paul spoke to Timothy, he told Timothy that the Word of God, the whole Bible, all Scripture is inspired by God. And the word inspired there is a Greek word, theopneustos, God breathed. The word inspired means God breathed. It came from the very heart, mind, and lungs of God. He spoke it. You see, that's how He created everything in the beginning. And that's how we got the Bible, is God spoke His word. And the Holy Spirit was the agent who literally carried those men by His breath to write down what they wrote. See, that's amazing. And only the Word of God is inspired like that. Only the Bible is. You see that? So why is everything the Holy Spirit speaks considered the Word of God? Because He doesn't speak on His own initiative. And because He is God. He moved upon these men to write the Word of God to us. And so everything the Holy Spirit speaks in the Bible is considered the Word of God. How about this? Acts chapter 4. Don't turn there, but Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Interesting scripture. Peter and John were persecuted. They came back to the church, had a prayer meeting. It's interesting, after they were persecuted and told not to preach the gospel anymore, that they didn't stop preaching the gospel. You know what they did? They had a prayer meeting, and they all got together and prayed that God would give them power to preach the gospel in spite of what they were told to do. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the persecution, Lord, they're going to persecute us. That's fine. They never prayed and asked for God to make the persecution go away. They said, give us more power. Okay? And here's what it says. It says that after they prayed that prayer, in verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Well, He gave them boldness to speak what? The Word of God. Do you see that? They spoke the Word of God with boldness. Everything the Holy Spirit speaks is God's Word. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will share the Word of God. And finally, in closing, Ephesians chapter 6, I love this. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. The Bible says that the Bible itself is a sword. Ephesians 6, verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, it's called. It's not called the sword of the Father, the sword of the Son. The sword of the Spirit, the tool, the weapon the Holy Spirit uses. The tool He uses in our life to change us, the weapon he gives to us to defend ourselves from the enemy is what? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So everything the Holy Spirit speaks is considered the Word of God. So what do we learn today? Not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but the Holy Spirit is also God himself.